It's Magic at the Movies, and my pleasure to welcome today Mark Abraham, Greg Kinnear. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jamie.
Look at that in chorus as well.
We do everything.
You're here because of the new film, Flash of Genius. Mark, obviously, directing it. Greg is starring it. And, well, just tell us a little bit about the film, first of all.
It's a film based on a true story. There was an article in the New Yorker magazine that we came across and developed for a while. It's about an inventor who comes up with the intermittent windshield wiper, which sounds like it's a comedy, but it's really not about the windshield wiper. So anyone who's hearing that don't have to worry about it. It's really about a battle for dignity. It's about a man who goes up against the system, goes up against Ford Motor Company at great risk to his family, great risk to his own career, and ultimately he does prevail, but it's a very intense and sometimes, you know, sad, sometimes funny trial and tribulation that he goes through.
And the guy is Robert Kearns, who you're playing, Greg.
Yeah, he was the man.
And what this? I think this is the first time you've actually played a real life person, isn't it?
Well, actually, I have done that a couple of times. I played this. Played the guy named Bob Crane in a movie called Autofocus, who had died, but you know, was a real life guy. And a guy named Dick Vermeil, who's a football coach, and have had some experience, not a lot, but some experience playing, you know, real life guys. But you know, Bob Kearns was honestly, if you read him on the page, if he was a fictitious character, you might be a little bit prompted to think, well, this is. I can't even believe that anybody exists like this, because he had such, remarkable kind of tenacity, and as Mark said, it really was this fight for his dignity, and you might be led to think that, you know, roll your eyes a little bit and say, who's really gonna put this much on the table and risk this much in order, just about something as fleeting as you know what they believe in. But the truth is that he really was that guy, and he's a remarkable man, and I was lucky to get to play him.
We say there that he put his all into it, and actually it was his wife that ultimately he lost over it.
Yeah, his wife is played by Lauren Graham, who's a really wonderful actress who we really enjoyed working with. The woman that she plays, Phyllis Kearns, is still alive, as are the six children that are in the film, represented in the film. One of the key things in here, there's the emotional family drama at stake, not just a battle against these superior titan forces that people these days are actually feeling like they want to get back at, whether it's the banks here or the banks in the U.S. or the automotive companies. One of the parts of the battle that was really the most costly was this beautiful relationship between two people who really loved each other, and it just took such a toll on his wife that ultimately she had to consider whether or not she wanted to stay with him. And in the end, it was very costly for him in terms of that relationship.
And I've got to ask you, it's going to be tough with him sitting right next to you, but what's it like working with Greg?
It was great. It was a very demanding role. It's hard to explain to someone, and you know, people talk about movie business and they think it's all glamorous. And of course, there are some fantastic aspects to it, and people ask you questions like you are, Jamie. But the thing about it is that role, every second was Greg was on, and he had to carry it because he was the focus of it. There wasn't a day off. There wasn't a moment really. Almost all. There wasn't even a scene that I can hardly remember that he wasn't in. And he was fantastic. We had a really, not that he doesn't challenge you. He's not a man who's above asking you exactly what the hell you're doing and why you're doing it that way. But I love that because it only brings out the best of you. So we had a great time, but it was all business. You know, we had a good time. We had a few cocktails later on after work. But when we were working, he's like the football player that you're counting on carrying the ball every single time down the field, or in the case of soccer, you know, he was Beckham and all the rest of them combined.
Well, there's a quote for you. You're the David Beckham of the film world.
He was Beckham.
Well, you can return the favor. I mean, I would imagine.
Do I have to?
No, not at all.
Not really.
No, it's true. Mark's right. We did have it was a really good, it was a great experience. I mean, as Mark said, it was a lot of work. This wasn't an easy story to tell. But we were instantly on the same page. I mean, a lot of times these kinds of movies can be, softened up a little bit. You know, we're going to take Bob, who takes on Ford, and we're going to paint him in all these bright, happy colors. And neither of us, I think, felt like that was our agenda. Our agenda was to render the guy as truthfully as we could, warts and all, because truth is, he was a flawed man. I mean, he really was somebody who had real demons he was wrestling with. And at the end of the day, he was fighting for what he thought was right. And I really admired that. But at the same time, there was a cost to himself personally and his family. And, you know, he passes up taking $30 million, and you hear a collective groan from the audience when they're watching the movie. He's a hard guy to root for, but I think in the end, it's hard not to kind of come around and understand what it was he was battling for.
Now, I actually know somebody who turned down, I think it was $2 million to do an advert. And it's actually somebody you know quite well, and that's Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais and Bob Kearns are, they're not very similar, actually. I love that story. You know, guys who say, you know, this is what I'm going to do something. This is my price, or there is no price. I admire. So hats off to you, Rick.
Yeah, it was for gin, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which and then
is the gig still available? Because I'm here for just a few more days, but I'm wide open.
And I'll work for less than Greg will for just support time. So just, you know, anybody.
Free dinner, right?
Free dinner, and I'll be happy to support the gin story.
Now, actually, we were outside a few minutes ago, and I actually gather that you quite like the dinners here in London.
I do. I, in the old days, that was the big joke, was it wasn't any good places to eat in London, the food. But, of course, look at all the great chefs that are around in London now, and they're the most renowned chefs in the world. And, yeah, I think the food is great. And Greg and I went out to a little place just around the corner last night, met some friends, and had a really good dinner. So I'm always happy to have dinner. I'm always happy to have a cocktail. And not at this hour. It's a little early to start. But
just a little bit at the moment, yeah. But you used to live in London, didn't you?
I've spent a lot of time. I spent years and years ago. I once wrote a script with Andy Summers, who was the guitar player in The Police. And a great photographer, and I lived here while we worked for about 6 months. And I've shot a bunch of movies over here, starting with The Commitments, which we shot in the UK, in Ireland, and a little movie called Princess Caribou and Children of Men, and all of those we shot over here. So I've spent a lot of time. My wife happens to be a Brit, so I've invested heavily in this country.
Oh, I see. Americans come over here, steal our women. It's terrible.
By the way, so is Greg.
Yeah, that's true.
Greg, there's something I do really want to ask you about, and you know, we'll come back to the film in a second. But you had the pleasure of working with Pierce Brosnan on a film called The Matador, and I remember doing an interview with him for that film, and he still had that most ridiculous of moustaches on. How did you keep it together looking at him whilst he's wearing that thing?
He just had a regular mustache in The Matador. He didn't have, you talking about the whole Colonel Sanders thing that he had? He didn't have that when we did The Matador. He only had he had a mustache.
It was big and bushy.
Well, it's a real, he has a mustache. He's a, you know, the Irish. I mean, man grows a mustache, there's a mustache. I had a harder time keeping a straight face with Pierce just because, you know, Matador is a very funny movie. And, I had a front row seat to, I think, one of his best performances. And we actually had a great time making that movie. We shot it in Mexico City, which is a little nostalgic because I don't think you're even supposed to go into Mexico City anymore. It's so dangerous. We were maybe one of the last movies to really shoot down there, but we had a blast.
And did he ever show any signs that he was one day going to end up in a musical?
Yes, he would often sing ABBA tunes to me at dinner time, and that's when I first knew he would end up in a musical.
Any chance of you ending up in one?
Yes, if hell freezes over, I probably will. I don't know. I don't know about that. I certainly, you know, I like challenges. I like different kinds of movies. So we'll see.
I could see, you know, in a, maybe sure. a Moulin Rouge or something like that.
Absolutely. I suspect he will be doing that. Hell Freezes Over is the title of a new movie I'm actually directing. And it's about a ballet dancer.
Hell Freezes Over, the musical.
So I can definitely see it. I think Greg could do any of those things. So I think from people who, actors who really are looking for challenges, if you look at Greg's career, and that's why taking on Bob Kearns was, I mean, it that's people, when they see the movie, will realize what a challenging role it was. If you think about the movies, whether it's Little Miss Sunshine or The Matador or the Bob Crane story, if he got the right script, he's in. He'd be singing away with a mustache.
He's played the over-the-top character in As Good As It Gets. Wow. So, you know, it's in there. Yeah,
it's in there.
Definitely.
It's true.
I must say congratulations on that film as well. That was a fantastic performance, and you thoroughly deserved your Oscar nomination for that as well. And working with Jack Nicholson, I mean, he must have been amazing.
He's the best. I still see Jack once in a while, and you know, obviously he's a pro and one of the great, you know, one of the great American actors. It's a joy working with him.
Back to Flash of Genius, and have either of you two ever had your own Flash of Genius? You know, oh, that's a great invention. I'm going to definitely make that, and then somebody else nicks it.
I thought the idea of somebody, and it's baffling to me that there isn't a $29 Father's Day gift that exists where it would allow a man to find his golf ball. That it's 2009 and you can hit off to the left in the trees and spend 25 minutes looking for something that's 3 feet away from you. In this year and age is completely amazing to me. But that's my great idea. I throw it out there. Godspeed with the people who come up with the idea.
I think we're just going to stick with that idea. You can go and make it.
The one thing that I always thought they should have, and they finally did come up, which is a better way to open a milk carton. But I had that for, I just want to say, I'm sure I had that idea before it happened. But now they've obviously figured out with the little screw on tops that go into the wax carton. So
you didn't like the pop thing?
I didn't
thing
like the pop thing. It never
well,
worked.
Well, you didn't count on it.
You
yeah,
couldn't. And
right.
My kids always open it up improperly. They open the if it said open this end, they open the other end. It didn't work, and it spilled all over. So,
yeah.
But I'm not suing anybody over it. I'm going to just live with the fact somebody else came up with it.
So, you know, I came up with it with the sleeves that go onto the hot drinks cartons.
You came up with that?
I definitely came up with
oh,
that.
So this is just a side gig. You're a billionaire.
I should be. But then Starbucks go and nick it.
Oh.
But that was always, you know, it was such a great idea then all of a sudden. Yeah. But what can you do?
Well, if you have, the one thing I will say is they're all out there. Great ideas are still always out there. Kearns was a great inventor of small and big things. And the one thing about him that differentiated him as an inventor from most people is we all get these ideas. And he actually went and did the work and was, you know, actually spent the time and had it perfected. And that's the thing. I think most people just, oh, you know, it would be an interesting idea. And then that moment's fleeting. They forget about it. And sure enough, somebody ends up capitalizing on it. So if you have something, go after it.
Somebody had the idea to make this film. Well done, you.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thanks for joining us, guys.
Thanks.